The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Next man up, 102.5, the game, second hour on this TD Thursday. I'm Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport in studio with us, Parker Kelly at the controls. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee, plumbing, heating, and air conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is 10 a.m., which means it's time to talk to TD. Get your questions in, 615-737-1025. Text or call with any questions you have for Teron. We start with Belvis from Houston. First, he says, TD, back off Ashanti. I guess that's Belvis's girl.
Oh, okay. You could have her.
He's got, yeah, TD's good.
I got my queen. She's the best.
He asks, it's post June 1st. Do you have any idea who the Titans may possibly add on the offensive line or in the secondary? DB depth is an issue.
Good question. I don't think there's any significant additions to come, but I mean, you never know. Zeitler is still out there, yeah. But again, what you see is pretty much what the team is going to be as far as those positions.
Yeah, post June 1st, like, we saw the two big trades, obviously, but I haven't seen a whole lot of like cuts or other players becoming available that we weren't expecting. So obviously, they can still add to this team. There are players still out there that could be helpful as depth for this offensive line. I mean, again, I don't feel great about the swing tackle spot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, waivers. We talked a ton last year about the waiver process at the end of training camp because the Titans had the number one priority. Now, they won't have that this year, but there's going to be players cut that maybe could be upgrades for the right. Titans at other spots. 4312, going to the Mets here. He says, TD, what is your greatest Mets moment outside of winning the World Series? He says he'll never forget Mike Piazza's 9/11 home run.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. So, okay, it's that same year they won the World Series. And it was that Game 6, seeing them win that. I got caught watching the game too late and got a bad beating for it. When I was little at that point, like my bed was a pullout couch in the living room, and you know, naturally with access to the TV, I turned it on. I had to watch.
Yeah,
I was listening
great.
To it on the radio. Then 100%. I just said, "Well, forget that. I'm gonna turn it on." And I remember they won the game and just thinking about, like, as it was going to extra innings, I'm like, Mike Scott, like, this dude's unhittable. You know what I mean? They're going to lose. And sure enough, they won that Game 6, went to the World Series. If that would have went to Game 7 and Scott pitched, I don't think they'd have won that game. He was scuffing the baseballs, but, you know, that's a different conversation. But nevertheless, like, that's probably my favorite moment. Yeah, I'm going to go with that one.
It's for me, I'm trying to think of like my favorite Tigers moments, and like the going to the World Series in 2012. I remember Prince Fielder caught the pop-up to end it
and sweep the Yankees. That, like, that one's up there. But then they got swept by the Giants in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, a moment that comes to mind, it's a year the Tigers didn't even make the playoffs. It was 2016. J.D. Martinez had missed, like, 2 months. And he was available to pinch hit that night but didn't start. And the Tigers were in a playoff race. And he comes off the bench against Chris Sale. And the whole crowd's roaring. And Mario Mpemba, the play-by-play guy, goes, man, if he hits one out right here, and first pitch, dead center, 2-1 game. Yeah. That one was fun, even though, you know, it wasn't actually, it didn't end up mattering to the Tigers long term. They missed the playoffs that year.
Yeah, that's dope, though.
That one, I go back and watch that video probably a couple times a year. It's just like, it is one of the most electric moments I've seen in Comerica Park, even though it wasn't a year that the Tigers were actually all that good. Anyway, 3120, this is Richie from White House, says, TD, let's say you're Mike Borgonzi and the Rams call inquiring about Jeffrey Simmons. If they offered the same trade package they offered the Browns, would you make that trade or turn it down?
I'd turn it down.
Really? Jared Verse, a first, a second, and a third?
I want two firsts.
But Jared Verse, like, does Jared Verse not count as a first-round value?
I want a player and two firsts.
Man.
Look at the Quinnen Williams deal.
Yeah. And, you know, Dexter Lawrence went for a top-10 pick.
Top-10 pick.
With half a sack last year. I get that. But, man, I think if I got offered a young, controllable, up-and-coming defensive end,
but you got 2 years of it.
First to second to third.
You got 2 years of it.
Yeah,
so
but
what are you going to have to do in 2 years?
I mean, you would have to make sure you extend him, right? Like, that's but
I want 2 ones, man.
I drive
a hard bargain.
See, I wouldn't trade Jeffrey Simmons for nothing, but I think if I got offered that deal, I would take it.
Mm-hmm.
But if, you know, I'm not taking a second for Jeffrey Simmons.
Right. No, it has to be at least one.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, for me, too.
And I wouldn't trade him. Now, there's always the chance that things go south this year and you're like 1-8 at the trade deadline. And if you get an offer that makes sense, I wouldn't say it's out of the question. But I do think he is important to the building the culture of this team.
Yeah.
And trading away good players doesn't really get you too far.
Not usually.
Especially when you feel like you have your quarterback already. So, I'm with you. I would keep Jeffrey Simmons, but if that offer came on the table,
you're doing it.
I think I'd do it. 6181 says, not a question to TD, but go Mariners. Took that series dub from them Mets.
You got that one. Don't text again. We're done with you. No, I'm kidding.
9194 asks, TD, how do the Titans defensive players this year compare to what the 49ers had last year? Like, are there similar prototypes with what the two sides have?
Good question. I think, you know, Upton Stout was so good as a nickel, a rookie. Marcus Harris is a bigger player. He's different from the 5'9", 185 mold that, like Kiwan Williams, who we talked about before. I think this group of Titans defensive players, just on paper, I think is better than what the 49ers had last year.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that.
Now, before you jump in my mentions, understand this. I'm talking about that unit. Bosa and Warner were gone.
Injuries. They only played, what, 4 games each?
Yeah. And Mustafa was out for a bit as well, who's a very good – he's solid. I like him at Wake Forest. I say the Titans' defense is better.
Let me see. Because, like, I think I agree with you just off the top of my head because, again, Fred Warner and Nick Bosa were out for most of the year. I think even if you add those guys back in,
there's a conversation.
Those two players are obviously, I think Bosa and Simmons, Bosa obviously plays on the edge, so, you know, a little bit more valuable of a player. But you've got Fred Warner, the best linebacker in the league. But outside of that, I think the Titans have better talent in the secondary, and I think the defensive line is definitely deeper this year than what the 49ers had.
Now, the other thing, you know, you talk about Bosa on the edge, without a doubt, but that's the beauty of Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
It's like he could get out on the edge and make some things happen too.
Well, that's what
he had four of his sacks were on the edge.
We played a clip. He was on Ross Tucker's podcast earlier this week, and it was recorded at the Super Bowl, so it's a little bit dated.
Okay.
But they did ask him, like, what excites you about Saleh? And, of course, the energy was brought up, him celebrating, coming off the sidelines. But he also said, he's like, with Saleh being a defensive head coach, yes, I like that he's going to let me just go, but I also think in this defense that he can move me around and have me line up in different spots. So I said it on Tuesday. I think we could be in for another big Jeffrey Simmons year.
I think we are in.
Like,
to me, it's not could be. That dude's going to have the best year of his career.
11 sacks is going to be tough to beat, right? It was a career year last year, but I wouldn't be shocked if he matches it or even has a couple more this year.
But that over-under,
I don't know what it is
on the sacks, but I'm taking the over.
I agree, because I think with Saleh being the head coach, of course, he's going to find ways to get Jeffrey Simmons in better opportunities to go get the quarterback. And having John Franklin Myers to his right or to his left is going to make it so much more difficult on the interior offensive line to try and stop those guys. So I'm with you. I think I would say double-digit sacks for sure for Jeffrey Simmons. It's sacks are also one of those tough stats to predict, like interceptions too. Like, you have to get the opportunities. And sometimes, even last year, there were plays that Jeffrey Simmons made the play and somebody else cleaned up the sack.
Yeah.
So you don't really know, but I agree. I think double digits. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Continue to get your questions in for TD. You can text or call or drop them in the YouTube chat. And all of our football offseason coverage is brought to you by Tennessee Brewworks. Raise a glass with Tennessee Brewworks, proud partner and official craft beer of the football offseason on ESPN 1025 The Game. More talk to TD is coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.
Make me feel.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. I was showing Parker, and I think I showed it to Corey yesterday too, the hee-hee man that you sent me.
Oh, yeah. did I send you the one with Lionel Richie too?
No, it was the one with Michael Jackson and Prince.
Yeah, I saw another one. It had Lionel Richie. It was Lionel from Thundercats. The internet's wild, man.
Man.
The internet is crazy.
No, I was like, there's Corey's Christmas present right there. Michael Jackson and Prince is what? It was hee-hee, man. And,
yeah, hee-hee.
And I forget what they had Prince's character was.
I love Prince, but it was hilarious, man.
I did want to clarify something here. We got some tweets about... I'm convinced this radio station hates Jeffrey Simmons. I just tuned in. The first thing I'm hearing is trading Jeffrey Simmons. We got a text. Right now phone lines are open if you want to ask TD a question. We got a question asking, if you got the Myles Garrett trade offered to you for Jeffrey Simmons, would you take it? I said yes. I think that is a knock-your-socks-off type of offer for a player. That doesn't mean I'm shopping Jeffrey Simmons. I think I wouldn't trade Jeffrey Simmons unless you got an offer like that. But we're not advocating for trading Jeffrey Simmons. We got asked a question.
Chill out,
we answered it.
Chill out.
We literally just said we think he's in for a career year. 4312 texted in. He says, 13 sacks for Simmons and 10 for Franklin Myers. He says they're going to be the Thumping Brothers.
The Thumping Brothers.
Is that our nickname for them in the middle? I feel like we can do better than that.
Well, listen, man, you know, I'm old enough to remember those Flyers teams that were called the Broad Street.
The Bullies?
Bullies.
Yeah.
It's not Broad Street, but there's a
The Broadway
called,
Bullies. I like that. All right. We're gonna try and get that going here. Spread the word. The Broadway Bullies. Jeffrey Simmons, John Franklin Myers. Let's get to some other questions here. Actually, I had a question for you.
Okay.
We got the news last night that Russell Wilson is officially calling it a career.
Tough
question.
He is
going to CBS. Is he a Hall of Famer?
That's a tough question. I mean,
I'm on the fence here too, because he is Super Bowl champion. I think the stats would tell you that he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, he's led the league in passing.
Like, let's see, all-time passing yards leaders. Russell Wilson.
I'll go ahead and say yes. Because if you look, in that era, he was one of the best quarterbacks. The Seahawks were one of the best teams. NFC Championship game, Super Bowl ring. Should have won another one. Yeah, I would say, but see, you know, people are going to counter and say, oh, well, the defense carried him.
Yeah, he had the Legion of Boom.
He initially was a game manager, but he progressed. Tom Brady initially was a game manager, but progressed. So I'll go ahead and say, I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady. Stop. I'll go ahead and say, yeah, I'll say yes.
Russell Wilson, 16th all-time in passing yards, 12th all-time in passing touchdowns. He has one Super Bowl, and again, you know, he probably should have had the other. He did throw the interception. Like, you can blame Pete Carroll and the play calling at Daryl Bevel for, you know, not giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch. But, you know, he did throw the pick. I'm going to say yes, not first ballot. I think one of those, like, it's gonna take a little bit for him to get in.
He's gonna walk up there with the cane. You know what I mean?
I don't know about with the cane, but I think he,
the Veterans Committee.
It's not gonna be like 2060 when Russell Wilson finally gets in, but I think he gets in at some point.
Yeah.
He hasn't had the stats that Russell Wilson has had, but like, at the end of his career, let's say Jalen Hurts plays another 5 years or so. Like, are we going to have a conversation about that? Like, he's won a Super Bowl. He's been to another. I would say absolutely not. But if we're going off of, well, he won a Super Bowl and went to another, like, there are other quarterbacks who have done that. And I wouldn't say that they're Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I wouldn't go on those grounds. How many Pro Bowls? I think it was 10 Pro Bowls.
Yeah, let's see.
I think Pro Bowls are relative, but you know, he's got a bunch of all pros. I would say, yeah, you got to put him
in. I think he's going to be in. And you know, the Super Bowls obviously help. Yeah, he is a 10-time Pro Bowler and multiple time AP. Actually, only one time that he was a second team All Pro from the AP. But I think he's going to get in. It's just he's probably going to have to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
Trevor says, nickname for the duo of Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers, the Nashville Nightmares. I think I like Broadway Bullies better than that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's another alliteration.
Yeah, Music City Maulers. He's got in there too.
That's not bad. Music City Maulers. I like that.
I think Broadway Bullies. You have come up with something good. We need to get people circulating this a little bit. I had another question for you. Parker told me yesterday. So we talked with Corey Curtis about the Rose Bowl possibly not being played at 4 p.m. And Parker texted me yesterday and said that you were not happy about this either.
Oh man,
the Rose Bowl needs to be played at 4 o'clock. We have gotten rid of so many traditions. We got to keep the ones that we do have.
Right. Come on, man. I can just hear Keith Jackson, the granddaddy of them. Come on, man. That's relevant.
Yeah.
Corey and Adam from Portland, they need to go together. Go together and have brunch somewhere, man. And flush this stuff out.
I don't know if Corey and Adam have similar takes on things, but yeah.
Similar takes in that it's very different.
Have you seen Billy Madison, Didi?
No.
Should I play the clip?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that what Corey said was the stupidest thing ever, but
it's
like,
not the dumbest thing ever, but it's. I mean, he's just on a historic run of dropping just awful
for
takes.
Rose Bowl. For them to move that one deserves the Billy Madison clip. Billy Madison, it's the Adam Sandler movie, and there's the clip of, like, what you just said is the dumbest thing that I've ever heard in my entire life.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. I just didn't know the person.
All of us got dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. There we go. We got some... everybody's chiming in on the John Franklin Myers and Jeffrey Simmons names. I like 4312. If we want to go Broadway, the Broadway Bouncers. They're going to throw you at the
Broadway
club.
Bouncers. I like that. That would have been better for Roger Saffold and Taylor
I agree with that. That's an offensive line.
I remember, I forget what game it was, but Derrick Henry had like 190 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember being in the locker room afterwards and you know, the back and forth. And I was like, yeah, man, you guys had to escort him about the club, right? And Roger Saffold was like, no white tees, no Timberlands. I was like, exactly.
It was funny, I agree man. With that. If you're going to do Broadway Bouncers, it makes more sense for it to be like, if you've got a mauling left tackle and left guard like that, but Lawan and Saffold. But I like Broadway Bully. Still my favorite one. Jackson says the Nashville Knockers as a nickname. That one.
No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to even give somebody a chance
We're towing the line. I don't think Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers would be too pleased with that one. Jackson also asked, does Russell Wilson's time with the Broncos and his cheesy personality hurt his chances? The cheesy personality.
Bronco country. Let's ride.
That's right.
Mr. Unlimited.
I don't think the cheesy personality hurts him. I do think his time with the Broncos and the way things ended there probably does. I mean, like, you've seen plenty of athletes hurt their legacy by sticking around too long. And not to say Russell Wilson should have retired when he got traded to the Broncos. That was in 2022. But sticking around too long, it does. Like, Bill Belichick right now. Like, Bill Belichick is known as one of, if not the greatest coach in NFL history. But I think he's going to be remembered differently because of the way things ended in New England and the circus that's going on in Chapel Hill over the last year or so. Like, I do think that there is something to be said of no matter how great you were, your legacy can be tainted if you don't know when to hang him up.
Gotta know when. Can't see it. You know what I can't unsee, actually? Jerry Rice in a Broncos uniform.
Right.
I forget who it was, but they grabbed him and just threw him on the ground like it was bad. And I can't unsee that now.
Yeah. So many of those like jump scare athletes that you forget they wore those uniforms, like Emmett Smith in a Cardinals jersey. God, who is the – there's so many other ones that it's like – I mean, half of the – Hall of Fame of wide receivers in a Titans uniform. Andre Johnson, Julio Jones, Randy Moss.
Yeah.
So I think there's some things where people won't remember it. Like Jerry Rice post 49ers. Nobody thinks of Jerry Rice in a Raiders uniform or
although
a Broncos
he did get
uniform.
He got 1K
Seahawks.
With the Raiders.
Right. Like, no, yeah. I don't know if anybody remembers that.
T.O. with the Bengals and
right.
with the Bills.
Yeah, him and Ocho. Together. But people are going to remember Russell Wilson's time with the Broncos. People are going to remember Bill Belichick and Chapel Bill. So, like, I do think that there is, you can hurt your legacy depending on who you are based on what you do to end your career. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Jackson says Eddie George is a cowboy. That's another perfect example there.
Yeah, that hurts. Emmett Smith as a
Cardinal.
Roger Craig and Ronnie Lott as Jets.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost all of the greats go through it. It's very rare for somebody to be a one-helmet player.
I got one that's going to make somebody swerve. Carl Pickens as a Titan.
Right.
Or Yancey Thigpen as a Titan.
Yancey
Thigpen. Not Hall of Famers, but.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Titans wide receiver retirement home opened long ago. Luckily, I mean, Calvin Ridley, I don't think I would qualify as that.
No, because he got a 1K season. I think
right.
Ridley's going to have a solid – if I hate to use the word if, but a healthy Calvin Ridley, I think, puts up a solid – I'm not going to say 1K, but I think he has a good year.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Boxing fans, 1025 The Game and Team Boxing League have your chance to win tickets to see the Nashville Smash take on the Atlanta Attack at Municipal Auditorium on Friday, June 12th. Text the keyword FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to enter for your chance to win. We'll talk some Titans on the other side. TD put out an article this week at ESPN.com about Brian Daboll and Cam Ward and their relationship. We'll talk about that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.
Yeah.
Next man up, 1025 The Game, Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly.
I'm back to Cali.
Parker keeping vibes high.
You got to put it to the part where he said, high heels, tall, bikini, small. She said she like the ocean. Yeah.
Parker's on a heater today.
How could you not love music? Like, do you see the vibes it creates,
yeah,
man? And that's the thing about music. And that's why I was so, like, amazed that Corey couldn't find a Prince or Michael Jackson song. There's so much range. Like, okay, you feeling sentimental. Oh, all right, boom. Let me put on You Are Not Alone by Michael Jackson. Oh, you want to get hype? Okay, let me put on, you know, Party Like It's 1999. Oh, you want to just vibe? Purple Rain. Oh, you want to just vibe? Billie Jean. Oh,
yeah.
You want to just, like, my granddaughter, little Coda, Dakota's her name. She's 2 years old. This little girl, she does all the Michael Jackson. She loves Human Nature. She sings. But she sings it.
Yeah.
She sings You Want to Be Starting Something. All the songs. It's so funny. But, like, that's the beauty of music. Like,
yeah,
it works for someone who's 2 years old and for someone who's 49 years old, like
it's
myself.
True. It brings everybody together.
You gotta love it. That was a great pool right there.
Yeah, well done,
that
Parker.
Was a great pool.
We played that song on Talking with TD before.
Did we? Oh, yeah, when we had Sarah Barshop on. That's right. Because Sarah Barshop is our ESPN NFL Rams reporter.
Right.
So what I do, like, show, like, we always try to pick something, bro. Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
That's dope.
Parker's done a nice job today. He's, you know, I do think Parker looks forward to Thursdays every week. He enjoys the rest of the week, but he really gets in his bag when TD's in here.
Yeah, no doubt.
TD, you had an article this week over at ESPN.com. Make sure to go check it out if you haven't read it yet, about Cam Ward saying Brian Daboll is the perfect fit for trying to build this offense. How do you think that relationship and that dynamic has developed over this offseason program so far? And do you think Brian Daboll has gotten Cam Ward off to the right start he needs for year two with the Titans?
Absolutely. And just to kind of give you a snapshot of how I think this relationship is going and just how it started. There was a play, and I mentioned the sequence in the story.
Yeah.
I didn't go into as much detail because I'm a reporter, not an analyst. So I can't, whatever.
Right.
But here's the deal. Daboll told Cam what was going to happen. He said, okay, this is going to go this way. This is going to go that way. It's going to come open. You just deliver it to him. If that exact thing did not happen, and I just looked, like, as I saw the play develop, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
And I know Cam had to be thinking, like, wow.
Right.
It was,
that's how you build that trust.
It was savant-like.
Yeah.
Like, he really predicted it. I'm not going crazy about it. You know, I'm going to say, hey, you know, they're going to be Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady. But I'm saying, like, that was a pretty cool moment to see. And then as Cam came off the sideline, came to the sideline, you know, Daboll just looked down.
Yeah.
Smiled, you know. He has swag. I like Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
I like him.
I've enjoyed listening to him. Even his introductory press conference, I think everybody kind of picked it up that he sounded like a head coach. Because he was a head coach, right?
Yeah.
Like, the way he talked, it didn't sound like a coordinator. It sounded like somebody who was in complete control. And then you see, like, the mic'd up videos from last week of him messing around with Wandale Robinson, Carnell Tate, and showing him his release on press coverage. It's like, I do think Brian Daboll is, like,
He may not look like a guy who's going to be have some juice to him on the sideline, but he does. I like the sequence that you talked about in the article, too, of, you know, Cam and the offense make a play downfield, and they start celebrating, and Dable got on him and said, no, go run the play. We're in hurry
up. On the ball. Yeah, that was – and then even, you know, taking the ball and lining it back up after what appeared to be a touchdown, you know, to Tate.
Right.
Say, and I mean, I think that's a part of, like I said in the story, you look at where this team has so many areas for improvement. That's one of them. Red zone scoring, right? They need to get better at that. I forget what the percentage was, but I think it was
not good. Yeah.
Yeah. As far as where it ranked. But, you know, this is a good example of taking something and saying, okay, look, man, we got to work on it. Let's take an opportunity to do so. So I think the relationship's going to be good. One of the things, and when you say relationship, that's something that stood out to me about Dable when I asked him about the magic that he's been able to have. You know, Daniel Jones was able to parlay into a pretty nice contract.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Josh Allen, obviously, the improvement he made. You look at Jackson Dart, what he was able to do last year. And he said the key is just that, forming a relationship with the young man first.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. And then on top of that, one of the things that he said was, you know, seeing it through his eyes. But what's pretty cool about that situation is he's gotten through to Cam Ward enough for Cam to be like, okay, I know you want to see the game through my eyes.
Right.
But I want to understand why you are calling this play, in essence, seeing the play calling through your eyes.
Yeah.
So now you got a good back and forth, and that's a really good dynamic. Again, I'm not saying, you know, this is going to be Bill Walsh and Joe Montana or anything like that. But what I am saying is I think there's a good foundation being built now, and we'll just see how they could keep loading that wagon, so to speak.
And we've talked about it before, but this is why it's so important that Cam Ward was able to get healthy after the shoulder injury.
Yeah.
To have this opportunity to get reps with Brian Dable and establish that relationship and that trust now, so that when you get to training camp and the preseason, you're building off of it instead of having to build the foundation. They're doing that right now, which I think could be really important for the way that offense is going to be able to run this year.
Exactly.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you have any thoughts. You can join the conversation on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll keep talking about Cam Ward when we come back. The coaching staff has made some comments about the things that he needs to work on. We'll go through some of that. Then coming up in hour number three, we'll look around the NFL a little bit more and talk about Carnell Tate, who continues to make waves in OTAs with this week being a week off, but coming back next week for three more open practices. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 the game.
Hey, use a true player.
Next man up, 1025 the game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly on this TD Thursday.
Please don't shoot up the place. Why? This should be having my baby.
Parker was pleased with this one too. That was, I'm liking the playlist that Parker's put together today.
Yeah.
Throwing in some new ones in there, too.
Yeah, trying to mix it up.
Who you attracting with that line? What's your name? What's your sign? As soon as he buy that wine, I slide up from behind and ask you what your interests are. Who you be with? Things that make you smile. What numbers to dial? You going to be here for a while? We can keep going. We can keep going. Come on now.
You need
put that B.I.G. on. Come on now.
Parker, you need to just play an instrumental the next time and just let TD go. Do a little karaoke bump music.
Oh, we can just do karaoke.
Karaoke. I don't do that.
You're not a karaoke guy, TD?
Nah.
We got some news here. We're going to get into it in the next hour. Christian Watson. 4-year, $110.5 million extension with the Packers. So,
very interesting.
Lots of big extensions coming down the last few days. Do wonder, maybe Peter Skoronski could be coming up somewhat soon. But we'll talk about some of those big deals coming up in the next segment. But I did want to stick with Cam Ward here for a couple of more minutes, TD. A lot of things that we've talked about with Cam Ward, and we went through the Derek Carr, David Carr podcast, and they pointed out two things that they think he needs to be better with. the footwork and some of the pre-snap decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with the pre-snap stuff because we were talking about Brian Daboll, especially with Austin Schlotman likely being his center. Does know the system, but not super experienced in that spot in terms of snaps played, games started. How do you feel like Cam Ward needs to improve what he's able to recognize pre-snap to set up the offense to be in the best situation possible?
That's a good question. I think one thing that he does have to do is make sure he doesn't lock in on where he wants to go. Predetermined reads.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's one. I think that's the main thing.
Pre-snap, yeah.
Because for the most part, like, he's seeing stuff pretty well. So I don't think there's really much other he needs to do.
Yeah, I mean, setting protections, there were issues last year at times, but I think for the most part, you saw he was in control at the line of scrimmage. You would see him moving guys around, and you would see him make checks at the line. Him and Brian Daboll, of course, need to work on what that's going to look like in this new offense, the terminology, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one is the footwork, and mechanically, Cam Ward has a unique throwing motion. I don't think you want to mess around too much with anything up top, right? Like, the arm angles, yes, sometimes it's going to lead to a ball getting batted down, right? When he goes a little bit lower and throws it into a guy's hands. But I don't know if you want to mess too much with the arm angle and the throwing motion, but clearly the footwork does need a little bit of fine-tuning, to say the least, heading into year two. I know we talked about this last week of, have you seen any improvement there? It is early, but it does seem like it's, you know, they're working through some of those issues right now.
I think the good thing is he's on time, and with the way, like, the sequence of the offense, you know, that's a good thing. He's going through his progressions well, so you're seeing that. Now, it's easy to be on time now, right?
Yes.
Because you don't have press coverage. And we know what happened with press coverage last year.
Yes, 17%.
I think when you – and this is something that Nate Washington, because we had him on the show. He's having a book signing,
I saw that, yeah.
Vintage Winery next Wednesday. You could go to Eventbrite or go to his NWash85 on Twitter.
Love Nate Washington.
Yeah. He made a really good point. Like, Carnell Tate is he's impressive right now, but you don't really know what you have until the pads come on.
Yeah, yeah.
And to that point, we talk about Cam Ward's on time with the offense and everything. Very true. But you don't have anybody out there, like, truly disrupting at the line of scrimmage.
Right, yeah.
So let's see how that all works. But as of right now, it looks solid. So that is an improvement, you know. So we'll see how it continues.
Yeah, I mean, it's so difficult to really know anything based on these OTAs. Now, again, as we've said since the first Carnell Tate practice where he was getting rave reviews, it's way better to be hearing great stuff about your fourth overall pick wide receiver than hearing that he's kind of fading into the background. You want that guy to be standing out. And with Cam Ward, you want him to be having success. And it does seem like, so far, maybe not perfect practices that have been open to the media, but he's been solid. You just like to see the growth within the offense and within his footwork and mechanics continue so that he can really hit the ground running in year two. We saw the slow start to the year last year. You'd like to see him get off to a good start, especially, you know, you're playing the Jets in week one. Like, that's a game that you think the Titans should win, and Cam Ward is going to have to come out and play good football to do that.
Then week two? It's week three.
The Giants, yeah.
Against the Giants. Denard Wilson gonna bring hell. So they better have their blitz pickups and all that stuff, because that whole tri-state area, whether you want to do the tri-state Philly, Jersey, New York, or Jersey, New York, and Connecticut, whatever, the tri-state area is coming on the blitz. So that's going to be something he's going to have to make sure that, you know, he has it together.
Yeah, no, I mean, the schedule obviously starts easier than last year, where you had to start with Broncos and Rams in the first 2 weeks. Jets, Eagles, Giants, it's not quite as difficult, but you know, also not going to be easy. And you mentioned Denard Wilson, like, that's a guy who He knows Cam Ward. He practiced against him all year last year, so he's going to try and take advantage of anything that he's picked up on with Cam Ward and some of the mistakes that he's made.
And, you know, on top of that, you're going to have he's going to have players this time around. You realize what Denard Wilson was working with last year?
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't have Arvell Reese and Brian Burns and Abdul Carter.
I saw a post, a video that Easton Freeze did from A to Z Sports, and I didn't realize it, but they started 29 different people on defense last year. 29? Yeah, 29 different people.
I mean, I guess the secondary by week 17 and 18 was all new guys. Hooker was back there, but that was basically it.
Man, what do you have? Like, I remember at one point, when they were in sub, three of the five guys out there weren't in not only the Titans training camp, weren't in a training camp.
Yeah, I want to find the names of those guys because I remember we had a Vandy game that day, and so I was over at Memorial, and I was checking the score every once in a while, and I was seeing tackles made by guys that I did not know were on the team that week. They had been signed off the street that week and were being asked to play. Let's see. Defensively, Sanusi Kane, was one of those names. There's one specifically that I'm thinking of. He might not have actually even made a play in the stat sheet, so I don't know if he's actually going to be. There's a participation thing here, I think. Anyway, there were lots of names that I had not heard of before. I mean, looking just at the stat sheet here from that Week 18 game, you had Sanusi Kane, Micah Robinson, Jarek Reed, and Truman Jones as four of your top five tacklers.
Yeah. Now, Micah Robinson and Jarek Reed, now they're on the roster this year, which is solid. But
and we talked about Robinson last week, that he could be a guy back end of the roster at cornerback who could add some depth there.
Mm-hmm.
Although,
no doubt about it,
he ended up on the wrong end of a highlight reel last week with Carnell Tate.
Yeah. Keymon Hall,
Eric Hallett.
I mean, good gracious.
Yeah. There was some guys that...
Those are all the DBs that play. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. All the DBs.
Maybe it was Eric Hallett that I was thinking of. But yeah, you had like the waiver claim guys. Jalen Armour Davis played a ton last year. Samuel Womack. So yeah, you're right that Denard Wilson, first off, is going to have a much deeper stable this year with the Giants, and Robert Saleh will have a much deeper stable as well, calling the plays for the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 4312 says, God, I still think Reese is going to be a monster, and we passed on him. Tate looks great, but I can't shake that Reese is going to be amazing feeling. Yeah, I mean, I would have taken Arvell Reese in the moment, right? Like, if I was the one turning the card in, I would have gone with Reese. But I also understand the red flags with Reese, that he didn't really have a true position. There was a lot of projection that had to go on there. Carnell Tate, everybody seems to say he's one of the safer wide receivers you could have taken in this draft. It's just a matter of what the upside is.
There's so much polish on him, man.
Yeah.
And I think it also... And that's one of the things that I always look at is like the situation and the match, right? Like, this team is starving for a vertical guy.
Yeah.
I know he didn't run 4.3. I get it. But he's still a vertical threat.
Right.
Right? And so you look at that, and then they're starving for – like, to me, although his ceiling – may not be as high as Jordan Tyson.
Yeah.
His floor is so much higher.
Yes.
And this is a team, like, what, Jeffrey Simmons, Peter Skoronski? Like, those are the only first-round picks in, like, 10 years, you know, that have been able to...
Right. I mean...
Make a second contract.
Like,
come on. And I mean, obviously, Skoronski hasn't done it yet, but we know at some point he's going to get.
And, like, Conklin is a weird one because, like, Conklin deserved a second contract.
Yeah,
he just didn't
not
get
to
one.
That opened the door for another blunder, you know, with the first round with Isaiah Wilson. So it's just like, if you could get something that matches what you need, as well as not a sure shot, but. a pretty good, like, you're hedging your bet.
Yeah. I think everybody felt good that Carnell Tate, especially, I mean, again, don't scout helmets, but like with what Ohio State has put out, Carnell Tate, I think everybody was like, yeah, he's going to be a good NFL wide receiver. It's just, is he going to be an elite NFL wide receiver? Right.
You don't scout helmets, but you don't discount good coaching. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And I think when you look at Ohio State receivers, they consistently are polished.
Pro-ready.
Route runners,
yep.
Pro-ready, hands catchers, guys that typically have a good impact.
Yep.
Now, Harrison Jr., all right.
Again, good player.
All the other ones, Ibuka, Jackson Smith, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, like we could go on and on and on.
Right. Terry McLaurin.
There's a reason. Yeah, Terry McLaurin, like going back. Yeah, there's a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to talk Carnell Tate more coming up next. We've now seen two big nine-figure wide receiver extensions this week. And I wanted to look specifically at Drake London and his production that just earned him about a $40 million a year extension. Do we think that Carnell Tate, would you be okay with a Drake London-like career from Carnell Tate to this point? We'll talk about that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.